Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan until 2. I will then go back behind the glass and be on the board for Andrew Filippone and Chris Muller. I do think I have my guy intern Jack in today, so maybe he will produce more of the show than he usually gets to those middle hours. I may be calling on him for more of a long relief role this afternoon. Austin Bechtold is with me as well. He is behind the glass as we speak, the man we call City Limits. Pomp is on his way back from Dublin. Joe is back in Buffalo attending to some family matters this weekend, so keep your thoughts with him as well. Taking your calls at 412-928-9370. In a moment, we will get to our game balls for Steelers and Vikings. It was a tough one. We will get to a college football minute next hour. Austin going up to Happy Valley, watching Penn State and Oregon play on Saturday night, and unfortunately for him, Penn State coming up short yet again against a big team. I got to call a very exciting Division III battle on Saturday, Austin. Chuck Knoll Field, St. Vincent College Bearcats, offensive explosion in that game against the Hiram Terriers.
How about that?
40-38, the final score, and a controversial non-safety call in the first half of that game. The Hiram punter, it looked like his foot was on the back line of the end zone, and the officials did nothing. He just punted the ball away, and the score ended up as a two-point Hiram victory.
How about that? First win for Hiram in the PAC. Congrats to them.
Since 1989, when they departed from the conference way back when. So, that was a fun one. A lot of offense, not much defense, kind of like a Big 12-type game, but a fun game to call if you have the headset on. 412-928-9370. Let's get your thoughts on the Steelers and Vikings game from yesterday. Charles in Freeport has been very patient. Charles, you're up, man. What's going on?
Not much. How are you guys doing today?
Good. What's on your mind?
I think Steelers did great in Ireland. I think defense is hot, but I don't want to jinx it too early. So I think defense is just starting. I know everybody says, oh, preseason defense ain't that good. Well, it's the beginning of the season. No one's good in preseason. So,
yeah, I mean, the thing that happens now, Charles, is that we don't get to see a ton of these guys play in the preseason. That's always a concern of mine, that they get very little work, and I get it. I mean, you don't want to have guys play a ton of preseason snaps because those games are meaningless, and you don't want to see guys go down with injury. We saw that happen to Derek Harmon. But then they do come out of the gate, and they're rusty. So when they come out of the gate rusty, it takes them a few weeks to get their feet under them. But the defense has looked better to me across the board in these last 2 weeks. What, 11 sacks combined in the last two games? They got Drake May 5 times. They got Carson Wentz 6 times. They were all over him. They're forcing turnovers. They are looking like a team yesterday, I would say, more than any other game this year. They earned their money a little bit yesterday, which was nice. 412 928-9370. Hop on the fan hotline and join us, which is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We go to Damon in the car. What's up, Damon?
What's up, man? I just wanted to say, you know, with the D yesterday, I was looking at the game, and I was like, see what we can do when we have a lead. And I thought they had Wentz running for his life most of the day. I thought he could have got a lot more sacks that he, you know, him being mobile, able to get away. And I also wanted to comment on Herbert. I think Highsmith needs to get it together, or he is going to become the backup. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I brought that up last hour that Herbig, the man plays like a maniac, especially when he knows it is going to be a pass-down situation. He is a fantastic situational pass rusher. I think the run portion of his defense, he falls a little bit short compared to Alex Highsmith, but the Steelers have a good problem because now they have created three really good or better edge rushers. Three really good ones against the pass. I think TJ Watt is still an elite player. Alex Highsmith is a very good player when he's healthy. That's his big issue. He's missing time, and Nick Herbig is taking the advantage because almost every time he steps in, he does something impactful. Again, yesterday, and we'll find out if he gets one of my game balls here in a little bit, but another nice game from Nick Herbig yesterday. Also, want to alert some of the people that may be tuned into our YouTube stream, and they are usually Odyssey app listeners. We did get an alert that the Odyssey app is down this morning, so thank you for hopping on the YouTube chat with some of our usual suspects who are having their fun here this morning after a Steelers win. Taking your calls at 412-928-9370. PJ is in Shaler. What's going on, PJ?
No, not much. Let me just, I'll give you a couple things and you can comment. Like game ball, Kenny G, or honorable mention, the Wilson, for that stop, which was incredible. The other thing is, okay, when we were down there at the end and that fourth and nine, I believe that punt was intended to go into the end zone because they didn't want any kind of punt return. But the thing is this, I've never seen that offense so pumped this year or last year, so pumped they wanted to go for it. You can see it's the end of the game, and they wanted to go for it, and he pulled the reins in. Now, when he was questioned about that after the game, he goes, we don't live in our fears. In Utah, I think it was what it was.
Yeah, PJ, I appreciate the call. Aaron Rodgers fired me up a few times yesterday. They got some really good shots of him on the broadcast that were either funny or just something that would get Steelers fans going. I do think that the shot of him on their version of the tush push was pretty funny. He just gave the finger guns. He stood back there with his hands on his hips and gave the finger guns when they got the first down. Now, you can play devil's advocate there and say, what if something happens? What if the other team gets the football? Yeah, it's going to be a touchdown the other way because Aaron Rodgers standing there with his hands on his hips, he is not going to make a play. He might as well have been Jeff Reed in that situation. He also, Austin, I don't know if you caught this, on one of the nice runs that Kenneth Gainwell had, Aaron Rodgers just hit a block.
Yeah.
He hit a lead block on one of those runs.
I did catch that.
For, 8 or 9 yards? Another good little chunk run for Kenneth Gainwell. I also crack up anytime we get like that jumping like fist pump from Aaron Rodgers.
And he does a little boom.
Yeah. He's like the Costco guy. But he jumps up in the air.
Five big booms for Aaron Rodgers.
I wonder if he likes those guys. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, and then him, you know, telling the punt team, stay on the sideline. Now, I thought a player of his stature would finally be one to convince Mike Tomlin, hey, let me run the show here. Like, let's do this. Even that didn't work. Because I did think late in the game, before they took that penalty and punted the football, I thought he would be able to convince Mike T to let them truly go for it. 412-928-9370 if you want to join your thoughts, or join the conversation, share your thoughts on the Steelers-Vikings game from yesterday, a 24-21 victory for the Steelers in Dublin. Mr. Science is in Bridgeville. Now he's on the Fan. Hello, Mr. Science.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's on your mind?
So I had the punt on my mind, but then you just mentioned something that kind of ties into that with Aaron Rodgers. You know, I always thought that the best coaches play to the strengths of the team. And we brought Aaron Rodgers in. One reason why is his experience, right? He's been there a long time, and I 100% agree with you. Let Aaron Rodgers make some calls. You know, if he thinks that they can make it on the fourth down, make it. And that ties into what I was thinking for the fourth down when they punted, you know. Why not line up and let Aaron Rodgers look at the field? He's seen every defense known to man in his 18 years of NFL experience. Let him make a call to get that fourth and one and end that game right there. You brought him in for a reason. Use all his skills, and one of his skills is his experience, his ability to change the play at the line of scrimmage and make a call. I think we should be doing that a lot more often.
Yeah, I appreciate that call, Mr. Science. I thought that they should have gotten to the line of scrimmage a lot sooner, because if you remember how that play went down before they ultimately took the delay of game penalty and then punted the football away, they got up to the line with only about 5 or 6 seconds on the play clock, and they could have gotten up there with, I don't know, 15 or 20 seconds on the play clock. And, you know, maybe Aaron Rodgers does check things out. Maybe he sees something that he really does like and he thinks he can exploit, and the Steelers could get the first down and put the game away. You know, let him try a hard count. We know that Aaron Rodgers, he's one of the best of all time with the hard count. This guy has a very good ability of getting defenders to jump off sides at key points in the game. The man has had a lot of free plays over the course of his career. That's not just by mistake. They could have done a multitude of things to put themselves in a situation where they put the game away in that spot. I thought they screwed up that whole sequence. Fortunately, it did not come back to bite them, but that would be the point of the game that everybody would be harping on if something went crazy and Minnesota ended up tying that game or winning the game right in that spot. 412-928-9370. Logan is up next. What's going on, Logan?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
So, I mean, the Jets game was amazing, I think, as far as Aaron Rodgers' performance goes. But I think this was his best performance so far. And you could tell because the team wanted to play for him. Last week, he didn't have a great game and capability for that. And I think that's the kind of quarterback we've needed. And I'll tell you what, I called into the PM team last week and was complaining about Kenneth Gainwell getting the ball. He far exceeded my expectations. He had a really good game. He was running like he was double parked. I thought he had a really good game.
Logan, I like that point there too. Running like he's double parked. I like that. I might use that. In the future. That might be a future St. Vincent Bearcats call down the road. Maybe as early as this Saturday. Another big one at Chuck Knoll Field for me limits. The Bearcats hosting Case Western. By the way, I have learned if you have one of their games later this year, because you do plenty of those.
I will have a Case game,
President's,
yes.
Athletic Conference games. They want to be referred to as Case Western Reserve.
Okay.
If you can give them the full Case Western Reserve University, that's even better. But I have heard that they do not like Case. They do not like Case Western. They want Case Western Reserve.
Now, have they told you that, or is that just what you've heard through the grapevine?
Well, I heard that from a very good source, a guy that you and I both know well, okay. Randy Gore, who is around all of those PAC schools and does some very fine work at the University of North Allegheny. He said, yeah, I've gotten emails about us just calling them Case Western. They want Case Western Reserve. That's where Jeff Hathorn's daughter goes.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's still there, but I know she did go there. Very, very nice football stadium.
I'll keep that in mind for when they play WNJ this year, and I'm calling that one.
You can join the conversation via the Fan text line as well at 412-928-9370. The Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Let's get some more thoughts. Steelers and Vikings, a 24-21 win for Pittsburgh yesterday. 412 928-9370 to join the conversation. Ken is in Mount Washington. What's up, Ken?
Well, you know what? I'm thinking about all the stuff that's going on in the Steelers and the Penn State Nittany Lions have similar mirrored games. They play the beginning of their season like it should be the end of their season. Then the end of their season, they fall apart. Penn State got all the cupcakes in the beginning of the season. They win, and then the fan base gets all jacked up. Then they play a top-ranked team, and they get their ass kicked. Steelers get going. They look good. They look good. But all of a sudden, I'm telling you what, the back end of their season is brutal. Brutal. They'll end up probably 7-9 or somewhere in there, 7-10, I mean, or 8-9. Because that back end is just brutal. Nobody's even talking about it. But yeah. Go Ohio State. Later. Bye.
What a call there.
Yeah, that was a fun call.
Johnny the Barber's gonna like that guy, and if that happened to be Johnny, that was a very good disguise.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless, and if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Because normally we can see right through those disguises, but an Ohio State shout at the end. Yeah, I mean, the back end of their schedule is going to be the more difficult part, and now they will go from week 6 through week 18 without having a bye week, so they will have to deal with injuries and everything of that nature in between. But I'm not going to be upset about a team being 3-1 going into the bye. Like they have beaten back-to-back teams here in either away venues or neutral venues. They will come back. They'll get a home game against the Browns. That Cincy game is going to be tricky because we know Mike Tomlin's record on Thursday night football games on the road in the division. It is not good. So even though Joe Burrow won't play in that game, that won't be an easy one. Green Bay, Sunday night football. How about that game last night, by the way? A 40-40 tie. That may have surpassed the Steelers-Falcons game from 0-2 as the greatest tie in NFL history to some people. That game in late October, not going to be easy. The Colts, even in a loss yesterday, I'm about ready to say they're a better football team than I gave them credit for. I thought they would stink. Daniel Jones may be this year's version of Sam Darnold. I don't know. Chargers, that won't be easy. Yeah, it's going to get more difficult, but I'm not going to be upset about a 3-1 start to the season. I think that's a little unfair. 412-928-9370. Pete is on the line. What's going on, Pete?
Hey, how you doing, Donnie?
Good.
Hey, one good game in a row. I'll take it. Clarify something for me. Nobody's been able to answer this. What happened to, if a player is ruled out of bounds, that he cannot be the first player to touch the ball?
So, Pete, I had that talk with Anthony in Oakland who called last hour. I think that rule sucks. I didn't think of that at all when that play took place. But it was some sort of, like, what was the clarification there, Austin? Because he was the player that fumbled it. He was allowed to be the guy that touched it.
Yeah.
And because he was out of bounds when he touched the football, the play was dead.
Still strange.
Right there.
That's a weird rule.
It is bizarre. And there are so many rules in the NFL that benefit the offense. You need to help out the defense a little bit every now and then. A rule that I used to hate that I've come around on, not that I'm the biggest fan of it, but just given how slanted the game is for offense, I used to be a really big hater of the fumble out of the end zone as a touchback rule, like if a guy is diving for a touchdown. I have cooled my jets on that just because it is so against, the rules are so against defense that you have to have some things there that throw them a bone. Like if those guys make a play. So that's just another rule, though, that favors the offense. Like, that shouldn't be a thing.
The fumbling one outside of the end zone is my least favorite rule in all of sports. Like, by far, my least favorite rule.
That's how it used to be for me.
It results in a touchback. I just think, why? Like, who came up with that rule is really what I think about. And, I mean, ultimately, at the same time, don't you think that it should return to the spot of the fumble or a 10-yard or like a 10-yard penalty from the spot of where the fumble was or something like that? I just think that it being a turnover when it goes out of bounds and there's no clear recovery, it's a very odd rule to make. And I know that the end zone is like sacred ground that people claim it to be, obviously. But does that mean that it should automatically be a turnover? Nobody recovered the ball.
Yeah. I think there are ways that they could work with that touchback rule. Like, you know, tinker it. Don't completely fault a guy for trying to make a big play. That play yesterday, though, was bizarre. That you get the fumble. It is simply touched by the ball carrier as he is laying out of bounds, and they declare the play over. Because, you know, like a couple of callers have pointed out, if that happens in any other facet of the game, that's a penalty. It's an illegal touching penalty. So the Steelers had a touchdown wiped off the board, and, you know, maybe all of the stuff that happened late in the game, it probably never happens. Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show on demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation, to break down and give your thoughts on Steelers and Vikings. A 24-21 win yesterday that puts the Steelers at 3-1 going into the bye week. It is a victory Monday. Austin, it is time for the game balls if you have the music ready to go. So this one's tough because there are a slew of guys that I have in the also receiving votes category that I will get to. But I am going to go 3-2-1 in terms of my players of the game, my game balls. Number three for me will go to Peyton Wilson. 13 tackles yesterday, 2 tackles for loss, a quarterback hit, and you just simply cannot forget about that play that he made late, running down Jordan Addison and making that stop. In turn, it forced the Vikings to use more time, almost 90 seconds of precious time before they got into the end zone. Now, the Steelers' defense stepped up on the two plays following, but those are the types of hustle plays, and it just shows up as any other tackle for Peyton Wilson. That was a huge play. A huge play in the game, and I think he is deserving of a game ball for that. Even if there were guys that had bigger splash plays in the game, and there are a few of them in the honorable mention category, those were huge plays that that was a huge play that Peyton Wilson made, and that carries a lot of weight for me. So he's number three. DK Metcalf is number two. His best game so far in a Steelers uniform, 5 for 126 and a touchdown. A lot of that damage was done in the first half. The 80-yard touchdown was a vintage DK Metcalf play. Catches a slant pattern across the middle, a otherwise, 10 to 15-yard gain. He takes it the entire way, runs somebody over to get into the end zone. That is what we want to see out of the Steelers' number one receiver. DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers, that connection starting to heat up, three straight games with a touchdown, so he gets himself a game ball. And number one, tune up that jazz music, Kenneth Gainwell. Kenny G is my number one game ball. A big shout out to the offensive line. That unit played very well. I feel like, and I haven't watched the full game back yet, I feel like the weakest player was actually Isaac Seumalo. I thought everybody else was pretty good. Not that Seumalo was awful or anything, but I feel like the other guys stepped up that we have been critical of so far. Gainwell, 19 for 99 and two scores. Was able to pull off some chunk runs. Helped in the pass game, 6 for 35 in that aspect of the football game. But a lot of us had concerns going into the game of what would this Steelers run game look like without Jalen Warren. We find out when the inactives list came out that he would not play. Okay, would Caleb Johnson get a healthy dose of carries? Now, he got six. He got six for 22. He had a 9-yard run, and he didn't screw anything up. That was very nice as well. But Kenneth Gainwell, he looked like a legit starting running back in the league. And, you know, somebody who called moments ago said, I was complaining last week to you guys that he's on the field too much. He's getting too many carries. Well, get used to that, because I think they are going to start to work in a pretty even split between the two after that game. So those are my top three guys. Now, I have some dudes that fall into the also receiving votes. And Austin, you can chime in on yours in a moment if there's anybody big that I missed or some that you have agreement on. Keanu Benton was really good to me. Probably his best game in a Steelers uniform when it mattered most for him individually. He was close to being kind of benched. But 1.5 sacks, tackle for loss, 3 quarterback hits. Same stat line for Nick Herbig. Now, this kid is going to probably get some more game balls down the line, so I didn't feel as bad about leaving him off. But he was great. TJ Watt, again, a very impactful game. Had a sack, couple of quarterback hits, tackle for loss. He had an interception on a deflected pass. He does it again. Patrick Queen, one of his best games as a Steeler. 11 tackles, 3 tackles for loss. Hit the quarterback, had a sack. Deshaun Elliott, the man does a little bit of everything. 6 tackles, 1 sack, a tackle for loss, 2 quarterback hits, 2 passes defended, a forced fumble, an interception. He just does it all. I love watching this guy play. There are almost too many guys to give game balls to. There are definitely too many guys to give game balls to, Austin, especially if I'm just sticking to 3 of them.
Yeah, I go to 4 when I like to give out game balls, because there's 4 quarters and I just like to do 4 game balls. 4 for me is Peyton Wilson for a lot of the same reasons. That tackle that he made was so significant to burn more clock for the Vikings. That was a huge factor on the final drive. Number 3 for me is Nick Herbig. Around the football, sacking the quarterback, looking like a very, very solid pass rusher that is improving in the running game. I would be completely okay trading Highsmith and having Herbig be the starter. But 2 for me is Arthur Smith in the offensive line.
Ooh, Artie Smith.
I think Artie Smith ran circles around Brian Flores' defense.
He did. I give him a lot of credit. He brought his A game. Artie Smith was in his bag,
you know,
as the kids would say.
We have given Artie a lot of flack at times. We need to give Artie his flowers when he does well scheming up the offense. And I thought they did a really good job against Brian Flores and that strong Minnesota defense that dominated Cincinnati a week before. And the offensive line played better. Aaron Rodgers was not running for his life like he typically is. It was better, especially against a good front. And number 1, I do have Kenneth Gainwell like you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Gainwell can be a player that builds off this, which is nice. The whole offensive line can build off what they did yesterday. Now, Andrew Van Ginkle was out for the Vikings. That was their big inactive player going into the game, but they still have some ballers on that side. Jonathan Allen, our old friend Javon Hargrave, still playing pretty good football. Dallas Turner, a young edge rusher. Jonathan Grenard, they held those guys to very little. Jalen Redmond had 2 sacks for them. But otherwise, they did not have guys that were just making big plays on defense, and it felt like an offensive performance where the Steelers were able to control the tempo and control the game. It was very refreshing to watch.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.